Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, it's time to Fast Forward. Welcome to the future of almost everything in Wisconsin on the upswing. Presented by Oricon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Joining WTMJ's Jeff Sherman, here's Steve Glenn and Martin Moore.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee, commerce and community, the future of almost everything. As always, on Thursdays, honored to be joined by Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Some really good analysis today on local and state issues, some national, too. Unique technology trends. We're going to talk about some changes in social media, entertainment insights, as Jordan DeChambre from the historic Third Ward Association will join us for the last couple segments. But we're going to do a bit of a price check edition today. We'll talk Walgreens, state budget surplus. What are ideas to spend the pot of money that the state has? I'm sure Steve and Martin have big ideas there. Packers ticket prices. And would you take cash to move to Tulsa? Oh, interesting. Really interesting. $10,000 they're doing in Tulsa to get you to move. Gallery Night and Day is this weekend. It's a 30-plus year tradition in greater downtown. What's selling? What do galleries want? How has this event changed through the years? What's sponsorship all about? Plus, there's some new murals in the Third Ward. So Jordan DeChambre will tell us all about that later in the show. But first, as we do each and every morning right here on The Upswing, let's go to Up. Up
one, two. Now, it's time for the
1, 2, 2.
Two Up on The Upswing.
Always do my best to find interesting business stories for you for the Two Up. Spider-Man wants $16 for a six-pack. Yes, indeed. Tom Holland, the Spider-Man actor, he participated last January in Dry January. Obviously, that health campaign that's kind of turned into a social movement. Started in the UK where Tom Holland is, and now it's all over the world. It kind of spawned into Sober October, which is happening right now. But Tom Holland thought, all right, I'm going to keep this sober movement going for the entire year. He talked to Fast Company this week and said it really started leaning in on non-alcoholic beer. Holland told Fast Company, it helped me kind of scratch that itch and find that social void that I was missing. But he wasn't thrilled with the taste of non-alcoholic beers in the pubs and on the retail shelves. Wasn't really keen on the marketing, which is really creative. He looked at the packaging on all the non-alcoholic beers and saw, wow, most of them are blue. And to him, he said, that those blue labels just don't stick out. So him and some other co-founders took that to heart and created a new alcohol-free beer brand called Bero, B-E-R-O, encased in gold and debuting with three styles, Pilsner, an IPA, and a wheat, selling it for $16 for a six-pack, available online, soon rolling out in New York and L.A., and then all across his home area in the U.K. Non-alcoholic beer, wine, and spirits have soared to $740 million annually in sales in the United States. That's still less than 1% of all total beverage alcohol sales, but the growth is really coming, and that some of the projections have it reaching $1 billion in liquor store, grocery store, and other retail sales opportunities within the next 2 years. So $16 for a new NA six-pack. Number two, new to you, Steve Glenn, from the couple that owns Honey Dipped Donuts. A new restaurant's planned for Milwaukee's Park Place Business Park, and it's getting $65,000 in grant funds to help finance the business. IVR Bar is leasing the former Point Burger Bar. It's 109th Street and Good Hope Road. IVR stands for International Variety Restaurant. The menu is going to have a good variety. Indian dishes, curry, masala, pizza, tacos, pasta. IVR will be operated by the couple that also owns the Honey Dip Donuts on Layton, and the Indian Village Restaurant on 76th and Forest Home. The $65,000 comes from TIF dollars that will be used to be directed towards the $200,000 restaurant build-out from the space. It's kind of an unusual finance model. TIF District was created in 2017. The district was backed by then Alderman Jim Boyle. He put $300,000 into this pool just for these type of opportunities. So a new business evolving where another business closed thanks to TIF dollars from a former alderman. I like that. You know, when one place closes, another opens. That's what it's all about. That is commerce. That is community. And that's what we do right here on The Upswing. Coming up next, how about a Mind Chef giveaway? This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Let's give away a gift card to the Mind Chef restaurant in either beautiful downtown Hartford or just off Highway 41 near the EAA in Oshkosh. Both locations truly full of creativity, dining rooms to explore all over. That's why they call it the Mind Chef, right? It's super affordable, a ton of fun, really family friendly. Our kids love it. Your kids will love it. Your grandkids will love the world-class game room, quietly, conveniently set aside from the dining areas. Kids under five eat free Monday through Thursday from the kids menu. And every Thursday, that's today, when you buy one pizza, you get a second pizza. Say it with me, Martin Moore, Steve Glenn.
For free.
Indeed. Absolutely for free. Caller number 9 at 855-616-1620 gets a gift card to the historic Mine Shaft. All right. This week, Walgreens announced plans to close 1,200 underperforming locations by 2027, including about 500 in 2025. So yesterday, I think TMJ4 was the first to report that the Walgreens store on 26th and National Avenue here in Milwaukee will close its doors on November 3rd. It's never an easy decision to close a store, a Walgreens spokesperson told TMJ4. We know that our stores are important to the communities that we serve, and therefore we do everything possible to improve store performance. But the spokesperson cited increased regulatory and reimbursement pressures as factors that impacted Walgreens' ability to cover costs associated with, obviously, everything that comes with running a business, rent, staffing, and supplies, but specifically at this location on 26th and National Avenue. Other than prescriptions through the years, gentlemen, what do you go to Walgreens for?
Birthday cards. I was just there for my wife's birthday card
the other that's day. That's old school, Martin.
Yeah. Where do you go?
For birthday?
He
for
makes
cards?
His own.
Yeah. I'll make them at home.
Your own.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, greeting cards, they seem to be all like $6.95 now. I'm
and
like,
up.
I don't They're know, not cheap. I don't know if I'm going to spend that much.
They got that's a little like a MP3 six player in them. Yeah, I mean, when you get sick, you go to Walgreens. When you need, I don't know, for me, when I need a birthday card, I go to Walgreens. That's really about it.
No, I've got the killer app.
What?
The killer Walgreens app?
Mm-hmm.
Is the phone or photos from your phone to the print like that. It is done.
That's nice.
Same day. You get all of them ready. It's an easy experience. That's my number one favorite Walgreens.
So I have
that's a really good point.
Yes. I have a theory. I think we're going to experience something very interesting in the next 15 or 20 years stay with me. When electric vehicles become ubiquitous and gas stations start getting phased out, we're going to need a one-stop location where you can charge your EV, you can go get your groceries, you can go get a birthday card and all this stuff. And I believe that there's going to be this new sort of convenience store that's going to have where you charge your car. It's going to be the new gas station. Maybe they combine with something like Walgreens or CVS and just scale down, but sort of... create like just a new way to shop and charge your vehicle and all that stuff. And I think there's going to be an opportunity for that in the next 10 or 15 years where we're going to see a transformation between convenience stores and gas stations.
Yeah, I mean, that scale seems to be, obviously, Walgreens has locations across the country, but CVS is taken to open locations into other retailers,
yes,
right. Targets, and yes. creating those type of partnerships. I almost think, you know, Walgreens now, it used to be pharmacy and medicine. Like, mm-hmm. that's what you went for. And it became, tried to be all things to all people, and it became nothing to everyone.
They do a lot of things very poorly when you should be doing one thing very well. Yes. And that's a lot. That's a big problem that businesses do, is they get bigger. What's the next thing? Where can we make money? What's the next trend? And what happens is you get so caught up in the infrastructure and the costs of trends that now you're trapped with, I don't know how many stores Walmart has, but you know, they're all basically the same. And so you trap yourselves financially.
Yeah, it almost seemed like their strategy too is like, well, we're super convenient, so we're going to gouge you on pricing.
Yeah,
exactly.
And everything is overpriced.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you walk into a mini Walgreens now, and it seems like a liquor store. Like, whoa, well, we know this is going to sell. We can get a little higher margin. It's going to...
I actually do drop in, see what kind of whiskey they have every now
another,
and then.
Another thing is you have competition, like thing, at least here in Wisconsin, things like Quick Trip. You know, boy, we love Quick Trip. Mm-hmm. And so I think what you're really going to see is places like Quick Trip really expand on some of the, they're not going to have pharmacies, I don't think, but you know, once they start getting EV chargers and stuff like that, why would you go to a Walgreens or a smaller gas station? You can kind of go to this one-stop shop, and I think that's
where everyone's so nice.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think Walgreens is going to have to start partnering with gas stations or something else to try and stay relevant.
And like all models, hone in on what you do well and do that really, really well, whether it's photo, medicines, and pharmacy. Lock in on that so the consumer knows what they're supposed to get there. Yeah. And I'm not going to walk in and pay $2 more for the toilet paper because I'm getting that somewhere else.
Exactly.
You're just not going to get me on that.
Right.
Maybe that was the case a couple years ago, but convenience, while it drives everything, it's not coming out of my pocketbook anymore.
Agreed. Right.
All right. When we come back, speaking of pocketbooks, how should Wisconsin spend its budget surplus? We'll have the WTMJ talk and text line open at 855-616-1620. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Is your shower and or tub space looking like it could use an update? WTMJ and Sidex have paired together to give away a tub or shower conversion. This is your chance to get a full makeover valued up to $10,000. All you need to do is take a picture of your shower and tub space, then text CREEPY to the WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. Submit your picture and you could win a full conversion from our good friends at Sidex. For contest rules, visit the WTMJ site at WTMJ.com. Speaking of the WTMJ talk and text line, a big thank you from the 414 2 for $1 cards, greeting cards at the dollar store, Martin.
I like
that's
that.
That's where you need to go.
That's a smart listener. That's a smart listener.
Indeed. And also not. From the 414, same thing. Get your greeting cards at the Dollar Tree.
No, I won't.
I don't even know where there's one by me. I'm sure there's like 50 of them, and I drive past them every day on the way to work.
Yeah, well, that speaks to our convenience. You know, you're going to go where it's most convenient, without a doubt.
I won't.
So,
I won't go there.
So, looking, Steve and Martin, how should Wisconsin spend its surplus? Wisconsin ends the 2024 fiscal year with $4.6 billion
well
surplus.
Well done.
Love it.
Well done.
Yes.
No, do your horn thing.
Here's what I say. You ever have someone go to you, Steve and Jeff, and go, if you won $1 million, how would you spend it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, well, I'd get a car, and I'd take trapeze lessons, and I'd go on a vacation to Bora Bora. I say we save a big chunk of it. Put it in the bank. Get some interest on it a little bit. If there isn't programs that, you know, were underfunded or underperforming or in need, you don't have to spend the whole thing.
They have a rainy day fund, too, don't
exactly.
they?
Exactly, yeah. So beyond that, the state has a record high $1.9 billion in a rainy day fund.
Gotcha.
So that, in addition to the $4.6 billion surplus, how do you spend it? You know, one easy thing a lot of people will say
education.
Is obviously education, public education. How do you distribute those dollars? Maybe you take away from some of the referendums that most communities are doing. Or you just look at what we have, 5.9 million residents. A little quick math, maybe we each get $779 checks, if that's everyone. But if you do 18 and older, everyone gets about $1,300, $1,277. So you could do the distribution.
Sure.
But that doesn't seem like the best use of funds.
And as someone who's very fortunate that, like, I don't need that, I would prefer to see it go to education, to infrastructure, to helping homeless. There's a lot of programs that are good when you live in a society and you live in a state like this. And I would like to see that go to those sorts of programs. There's obviously people that would love to have that back and need that back. So I don't know how you'd choreograph that. Mm-hmm. But all the typical things, education, healthcare, poverty, infrastructure.
This is a great time for innovation in PR.
Mm.
If you put a call out to those problems and whatever else is on your list, and you start asking people to come with ideas, not just from Milwaukee, but from around the world.
Yeah.
And now you can start building on that tech reputation and everything else. And how are we going to address these challenges in an innovative, crowdsourced kind of way? Take half of that money and do that. Take a third.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great idea. Creating new funds to power the things that the state needs.
Yeah.
So if it's recruitment and retention is that umbrella that so many organizations are working on,
mm-hmm.
let's take some of that money and create a new fund that organizations can tap into. I mean, another idea, obviously we have aging sporting venues. Every time that, you know, Lambeau Field, AmFam Field,
Fischer
Forum, youth sports complexes across the country or across the county and the state need money, why don't we create a sports fund for the state of Wisconsin using some of the surplus dollars? Also, strategically consider what's the expansion of sports gambling going to look like with not only the tribes, but we're probably going to move that further. You funnel some of those proceeds, and suddenly you have a sports pot of money that can be used in the future. What do you think of that idea?
I think what's cool about part of that is some of those things become self-sustaining then and actually can generate revenue back. So I'm interested, but I think this is just a ripe time to take some money and start getting ideas and start tapping into the talent you have in this state.
Yeah. I mean, there's obviously a lot of need, and we're getting a lot of talk and text. Whatever you do, don't give more money to the public schools. They already have their money. But this is an opportunity, like you said, to go into further niches, whether it's education, whether it's parks,
small businesses,
arts,
startups,
whether it's maybe some new retirement fund that every preschool kid gets.
Yeah.
And you can watch those dollars grow for 25
years.
You got to use this as an opportunity. So
crowdsourcing
for ideas is what it's all about. I love that idea, Steve.
Yeah.
All right. So the state surplus looking at $4.6 billion. Those are our ideas. Keep the talk and text line input coming.
Is that coffee?
That's it. I'm getting 100 cups of coffee starting now.
Time for a quick look at your coffee and how much it costs. It's the Upswing's Coffee Index.
How's it going?
Welcome back to the Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined by Steve Glenn and Martin Moore. Where'd you get your morning coffee? I stopped at the Valentine Coffee in the historic Third Ward. $2.50. The 12-ounce cup, $2.71 with tax. Did a dollar tip. That Bering Sea blend they have, it's great. Kind of complex and balanced. A little bit of dark chocolate. Although I heard this morning that cocoa prices are going up too.
Oh boy.
So that will be interesting to see as we head into the holidays how chocolate prices explode a bit. But producer Jaslyn, where'd you go this morning?
I went to Better Together Cafe in South Milwaukee, which is always farther than I think it is from St. Francis.
Did you both take it to go?
Yes.
Yes.
If you stayed there, is it free refills?
Ooh. I don't know. I feel like you can get that at Canary across the street, but I don't know about, because it's a different price if you just get it in an actual cup versus a to-go.
Mm, yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. I'd have to check with Valentine. Yeah. I know, like, Colectivo doesn't do free refills with a to-go cup.
That would make sense because you're going.
If you're eating,
you get a mug.
If you're drinking there, it's a different story.
Because I always get a mug, no matter what.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or where were you this morning before the show?
Wantable. Of course. Wantable. Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Do we need more co-working spaces for you?
No, I'm fine.
Points and loyalty systems, whether subscription, no, but many of them do. If you bring in your own mug, there's a discount.
Cool.
Yeah.
There was a bar back in Champaign that would do that kind of thing.
With booze?
Beer?
Yeah, you would get like a big mug, like your own mug to go, or Stein. I think it was a mug.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm in.
That's clever. It was a nice local place.
All right.
Good to go for happy hour.
Very good. All right. Well, speaking of money,
yeah,
dollars, savings, $10,000 to move to Tulsa. Business leaders and local officials in Tulsa, Oklahoma have been puzzled for years trying to kind of what a lot of communities are doing, right? Kind of fill in that void of how young people are leaving for the coastal cities, leaving for warmer climates. And they wondered, all right, how can we incent people to move here? How can we keep professionals rooted in the heartland? So they're offering straight up $10,000 for our remote workers, or you don't have to be a remote worker, but you move to Tulsa, you get $10,000.
Mm-hmm. Once?
Yes.
Tax-free?
Yes. Well, I'm not sure of the tax implications.
Yeah,
don't quote me on that. Yeah. Yes. But what does that financial incentive above and beyond what you're going to get from your employer to relocate, is that an incentive for you to move?
If I live in Wichita, Kansas, sure. If I live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, or LA, or Chicago, or literally any other city in the United States, no, I ain't moving to Tulsa for 10 grand. $10 million, maybe.
Oh, boy. I don't know. This is interesting. So I know a lot of, I know some in the 20-somethings, early 30s, who are ditching the office in the city right now. But they're looking at more international kind of exotic type places to go and co-work. And they actually, there's a site that connects people to this process. So you pick and you kind of pick your roadmap for where you want to be for how long, and you go for a year, leave. And this site helps you network with people who are doing the same thing. I think that, I mean, that's what you're competing against if you're Tulsa, besides, you know, the perception like Martin has.
That's right.
I wonder what the stipulations are. Like, do you have to stay there for 2 or 3 years? There's obviously got to be some sort of rules. You can't just go there, take your money, and then a month later leave.
Yeah, and the research found that they surveyed 1,200 people, including 411 who participated in this Tulsa remote survey. And they found that remote workers who moved to Tulsa saved an average of $25,000. It's less expensive to live there. Mm-hmm. They saved on annual housing costs. And also, they looked at kind of the economic impact of the state of Oklahoma and the state of Tulsa. They said it brought in more than $14.9 million in annual income tax revenue and $5.8 million in sales taxes from the remote workers that chose the program.
And no matter what you think about Tulsa, this is a brilliant, again, PR move, right?
Yeah.
Look at all the attention it's going to get. And now you don't have, you not only have people, but you have companies probably thinking about, well, what's going on here? Is this a buzz? You know, should I move my headquarters there?
Yeah, they've also said that it has increased housing prices, though. Mm-hmm. That's the interesting thing. The median price of a home in Tulsa has risen by 9% in the last year. Nationwide, it's only 3.2%. So
that's
they
not
have
ideal.
More people living there, but the housing prices are going up.
Yeah. Well, that's what
it's interesting. I mean, I'm sure there's people that would definitely consider it.
Yeah.
I'm not one of them, but
hey, it's all about telling the story. It's all about packaging, promotion, and protecting the area that you live in. I think finding creative solutions to these type of complex problems are what communities should embrace. And I'd love to see more of it from Greater Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin.
Well, when you have a $4.6 billion surplus, what are you going to do?
Let's bring it on for sure. All right. I wanted to get hearing in the news that Mark Cuban's in town. I wanted to get Martin's takes on kind of the changing social media world that we all live in. So when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about some of the changes coming to X and Threads and even Blue Sky. But then Jordan DeChambre from the Historic Third Ward Association will join us to talk about the changes in gallery night through the years and some new murals that are popping up in the Third Ward. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. Steve Glenn, Martin Moore, Jordan DeChambre from the Historic Third Ward Association joins us. But first, I wanted to quick hit on what is happening on the social platform X. Mark Cuban is in town at UWM, joining the vice president today. And Mark, obviously a passionate user of X and Threads and other social platforms, done, I think, an incredible job this election season to get out the messages he wants, really super creative. But X has moved to kind of the next stage of using its power of blocking. And I wanted to get your insights, Martin, on this.
I don't like it. Blocking is more than just, you know, canceling out someone who you don't agree with or whatever. It's a safety net for women who are being stalked. It's a safety net for people like us that are on the radio where people might be threatening your life or saying things to you. It's a way to remove violence and animal cruelty and all the things that you don't want to see in your feed. And it's very, very important to have in something like social media. And so the fact that it's going to be gone and they're getting rid of it, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. I think it goes beyond just letting everyone have a voice and see everything. Yeah. It's a safety net.
I mean, do you think we're moving to like all paid social media accounts? Like, obviously, you can pay for Twitter X,
sure,
or Twitter Blue now, but you think that's where all the platforms go?
Yeah, I mean, Meta's doing that right now. You pay $14.99 or $11.99 for Meta Verified and all that stuff. And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
but social media is ruined. It's not the good old days of MySpace and Friendster anymore.
It's changing really quickly.
Yeah,
I'm not here for it.
I have found I haven't even been on it in a very long time.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right. It's still, you know, I still enjoy the community building that happens there, but it's getting more and more interesting for sure, especially as
the water is muddied.
Yes. All right. Well, you know what? In better news, gallery night and day is tomorrow, Friday and Saturday. Jordan DeChambre from the Historic Third Ward Association joins us. Jordan, thanks for taking the time. How has gallery night and now the Saturday evolved through the years?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's been around for more than 40 years, which I think most people don't realize. And, you know, this is an event that was originally run by the Easttown Association. And probably close to 15, 20 years ago, that switched over to the Historic Third Ward. And we've really taken the lead on this event. But I think that there is a misconception that gallery night is mainly just in the Historic Third Ward, which is not accurate. There are so many amazing places to visit, everywhere from Walker's Point all the way down to UWM, and of course, the Historic Third Ward, but just lots to see throughout the city.
Yeah, and how have you seen, you know, working with your partners and your sponsors and your members, like, how have you seen the impact change through the years? I think, you know, everyone wants to sell art,
of course,
but it's a showcase opportunity for these galleries as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the trend that we've really seen emerge is Friday night tends to be the night when everybody goes out to explore. So you're trying to discover new art and artists. You're maybe being introduced to certain forms of art for the first time. You're meeting gallerists. You're understanding the motivation behind why they're putting in their galleries, what they're putting there. Or maybe you're checking out a really cool pop-up event. Saturday tends to be for the buyers. You know, you've taken a look on Friday. You can't get something out of your head. You
get
have to
deal
have
done.
This piece. You have to do it.
There
right.
You go.
So Saturday, and that isn't true for everybody, but that is the biggest trend that we've seen emerge. And I think also that galleries don't so much look at this anymore as we have to sell out our gallery for this to be successful.
Yeah.
If they find one person who hasn't discovered art before and suddenly has found an appreciation and become inspired by something, that makes everything worth it.
Yeah,
I just love that everything becomes a gallery on gallery night.
Yes.
And you have people who are like business owners who are supporting these artists and showcasing their work.
100%. And that's the thing. When I came on at the association about 2.5 years ago, the biggest thing, I used to come to gallery night when, I mean, early 2000s. So back before the Historic Third Ward is how we know it today,
sure,
right?
Yeah. Sure.
And but I remember the coolest thing about it is you would kind of stumble into some sort of a studio, and there would be this amazing art show in somebody's condo. Right? Like just randomly.
String bass playing music.
Exactly. Yeah. But, and now, so I thought, how do we kind of bring back that magic again, in addition to all the amazing galleries that we have? And that's really when the pop-up activations came into play.
Yeah.
So that's when we started seeing places like Leela and the Journeyman Hotel and Terrasol Dispensary and Likewise Coffee pop up and say, you know what, we're going to host artists in our space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my gosh, we have Skylight Music Theater performing out in the mid-block on Broadway as part of the Milwaukee Theater Week Best Seats promotion.
Yeah.
So, you know,
the Marshall Building is amazing,
right? Oh, my gosh, 22 galleries
roam that.
Alone.
Yeah.
I know, that alone can be your night.
Yeah.
It's really become a community-centric event that's about commerce, but also just exploring all that the neighborhood has to offer.
Absolutely.
When we come back, which well-known restaurant is coming to the Third Ward? I know there's been some buzz around it. I'm going to see if I can get some insight from you. Jordan DeChambre from the Historic Third Ward Association. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. As always on Thursdays, honored to be joined by Steve Glenn, Martin Moore. Jordan DeChambre from the Historic Third Ward Association joins this morning as well. So 333 Water, new tower, 31 stories, beautiful riverfront space, lots of buzz in recent days and the last week that a new, everyone's saying, well-known restaurant is coming to the Third Ward, to that riverfront space. Jordan, what do you know? Anything?
You know, if I knew anything at all, Jeff, I would tell you. I truly don't. The only thing I know for sure is that it's a spectacular space.
Yeah.
And that whoever does take it will be incredibly lucky because, my gosh, the views, that building, what a location.
Yeah.
So we're excited to learn more.
Very good. All right. There's a handful of bigger restaurant groups that could make it happen and maybe a relocation from another place in the area. It will be interesting to see who fills that space for sure.
Well,
I've seen some new murals going up in the Third Ward.
Yeah.
What, tell us all about that.
Absolutely. So we have four new large-scale outdoor paintings that are being unveiled tomorrow night in the Third Ward.
Okay.
This is in conjunction with MIAD, who's celebrating its 50th anniversary this year. So we're very excited. Every one of the artists is a MIAD alum or current student. We have a piece that is actually Gertie the Duck that was just on Cafe Benelux this morning. So really, really beautiful pieces, adding some color and inspiration to the ward. And, you know, we can never rest on our laurels. We're, you know, voted the number 5 best arts district in the U.S. by USA Today. We have to make sure that we are staying relevant, that we are always staying on top of you know, making sure things are fresh and cool in the ward. And, you know, we're very lucky to have MIAD with us as our partner.
And those public-private partnerships to power public art in the area are truly important. And the organization does a great job to bring those forward.
Yeah.
All right. All the best with Gallery Night and Day tomorrow and Saturday all around Greater Milwaukee.